I'm curious to see how long it takes you to catch on. For a decade throughout the Los Angeles area during the drive time radio, listeners in Southern California would tune in from 4 to 7 o'clock 5 days a week to KKLA to hear the radio program of an award-winning talk show program live from L.A., covering a wide range of social, moral, political issues of concern for us Christians. It drew a large and loyal audience who heard unique daily insights and listened to his timely interviews with well-known celebrities and political people and pastors and the like. And this man was, for 10 years, recognized for his labor for the National Religious Broadcasters and nominated him for the radio program, a talk show of the year, 4 times. In the year 2000, he was inducted into the Radio TV Broadcasters Hall of Fame. A veteran of nearly 50 years of radio broadcasting, during the 1960s, he was involved in radio broadcasting and was one of America's top 10 radio personalities. In the 1970s, he pioneered the underground radio format for FM radio stations from Boston to Los Angeles, and he was the public relations director for a little band called the Beach Boys. In 2004, he joined the executive committee for the Billy Graham Rose Bowl Association Outreach Crusade of 2005. He was diagnosed with a malignant tumor in his kidney, and surgeons removed that tumor. And since that time, he remains to this hour, thank God, cancer-free. You all remember going through, as you drove the freeways of Los Angeles, the cancer battle that his wife Terry went through, and eventually she went home to be with Jesus. But God not only blessed Warren Duffy with healing his cancer and taking his wife Terry home to be with Jesus, but the Lord also opened up the door for him to marry Pam Duffy. So give a warm welcome tonight. It is an honor tonight for us to have Warren Duffy with us today. Oh, man.
I love you.
I love you too, brother.
Thank
God bless you.
God bless you.
Holy cow. Oh. Oh. So that's what he looks like. He has the perfect face for radio. It's an honor to be here and give your pastor a night off. Got to tell you, it's very intimidating to come to this church. Have you ever been back here? They have a wall of pictures. Chuck Smith, Tim LaHaye, Frank Pastore, my replacement. They're all back there. You get nervous just waiting to be introduced. But I tell you something. We go to Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach, Refuge. Bill Welsh is my pastor. And if we weren't plugged in there, we'd be plugged in here. You guys are a great church. And I want to honor your pastor tonight. He is a great man of God. What is your most precious possession? What is your most precious possession? You're Christians. My salvation, right? That would be my first answer, too. Some people say, my house. As long as I still own it. Some people, my car. Kim Kardashian would show you her ring. But you know, as Christian Americans, I really believe that our most precious blessing, and we're twice blessed, is our freedom. America. God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good from brotherhood from sea to shining sea. And then there's the other one. Let freedom ring. And then Patrick Henry said, give me liberty, give me freedom, or give me death. And Abraham Lincoln said the same thing at Gettysburg, that this nation shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people and by the people and for the people will not perish from this earth. Oh, dear God, that will happen. At the same time that you're thinking about your freedom, can I give you a little history lesson just to get started tonight? Little history lesson. Year America was founded, 17. I'm going to do that one more time. Jack told me this was a very astute crowd. Let me do that. Declaration of Independence. 11 years later, Constitution. They couldn't agree any more back then than they can in Washington today. 11 years. What happened 25 years after that? The War of 1812. England wanted the colonies back. We hardly even learn about that in school. But do you know that the British actually landed at Washington, D.C. and burned the White House and sent James Madison and his wife scurrying off? It was that serious. I know. I'm from Baltimore, right up the bay. I'm a Baltimorean. And as a little kid, they used to put us on school buses, and we would go down to a fort right on the mouth of that Chesapeake Bay. And after the British had burned Washington, they came up the bay, and if they would have overwhelmed that little fort, they would have probably taken back the colonies. There was a young man, his name was Frank Key. You know him by his more historical name, Francis Scott Key. And he was on a boat out there in the harbor looking at Fort McHenry as the night went down. And he could look over and he could see the American flag. And then it got dark. And he didn't know, will the British take the fort? Will they take the colonies back, or will the fort hold? And every once in a while during the night, there would be a bomb going off. There'd be a flash of a cannon. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? In Baltimore, I bring that up because tonight, of all nights, this is the 196th anniversary today, that Frank Key wrote his poem 196 years ago today. Isn't that wonderful? And I want you to think about that poem that he wrote. Not just the first verse, we're all familiar with that. When you're a kid in Baltimore and you go down to the fort, you not only learn the first verse, but the fourth verse too. Can I read you the Warren Duffy living translation of the national anthem? He used kind of arcane language from back there. But this is what he was really saying. Hey, look up there. Can you see? Remember how proud we were last night? In the last rays of twilight and then in the darkness of the night, our stars and stripes, all through that dangerous fight, look so gallant, so inspiring, waving over the fort's ramparts. And all night long, boom, a rocket would explode. Boom, a bomb would burst. And for just a quick instant, we could see our flag was still there. And now look, it's morning. And oh, glory is still waving. We held the fort. The flag still waves over the land of men who are free. And over America, which is now and always will be the home of the courageous, the fearless, the home of the brave. That's us. Now, if you go down there and you're a little kid in Baltimore, they make you sing the fourth verse. And I want to read it to you tonight. Then I'm going to throw the words up on the screen. We're all going to rise up and we're going to sing the national anthem. And then we're going to kick off the ball game. Oh, say, you see. Come on, the ball game's coming on. Hurry up. Fourth verse. And thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between our beloved home and war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may this heaven-rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us a nation. And conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto: in God is our trust. And that flag in triumph will wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. That's America. This thing's probably unconstitutional now. But it's our national anthem. I wanted to get the worship band, if they could, to come back out here. And would you all rise up and join me on this night of history? This night when the buttons were going off and... Hello, worship band.
Right here.
Oh. Would you join me in singing our national anthem?
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, and whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, and o'er the ramparts we'd watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Thus be it ere, when free men shall stand between their lost homes and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto: in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Stay standing, if you will, and reach back and get your Bible. It's time for the reading of God's holy word. May he bless it as we focus on it this evening. Would you open your Bible, please, to a teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples about freedom. Would you open to John chapter 8 and flip over to verse 30. Does Pastor Jack have you read out loud together? Yeah, let's do that. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever. A son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." As Americans, we are twice blessed. We have the freedom that is our God-given right, and we have our freedom in Christ. You may be seated. That's an incredible lesson when you think about it, because the Jews, going back to Leviticus, had always said, "God set us free from the Pharaoh. We're not slaves to any man." And yet they were taken into captivity. And yet, at the very time that Jesus was teaching this to his Jewish disciples, Rome was lording it over the country. And Jesus says to his disciples, "No, you don't understand. You're a slave. You're a slave to your sins. You have to bring a sacrifice to the temple every single week. Because you have to..." Do you ever think of the reality of that? I mean, I'm going to the temple and I got my two little turtle doves, you know, for my sacrifice. And I go up and I get in line and there's Pastor Jack and he's got an ox. "What'd you do this week?" "Oh, God. This may take a while." But see, he had not yet been about his Father's business. He came to offer you and I what? What? He paid the price. He paid a ransom. He paid the debt we could never pay, because he did it for you and me. Eternal life. Forgiveness of sins. You've been ransomed. Your sins are paid for. You have no debt anymore. And these Jews are saying, wait a minute. What are you saying that we're still slaves? Slaves could be bought and sold. Slaves are only in the house for a short time. As soon as you got tired of having your slave, you just sold him and he went out of the house. A son, a family member, stays forever. You and I are part of the family of God. That's never going to be taken away from you. Can you sin? Sure. Do you feel bad about it? Paul did. But isn't it wonderful that the price has already been paid? He paid the debt that we couldn't pay. And he did it for you and me. I just love to think about that, don't you? I mean, he just gives me that when I'm going through cancer surgery. Holy cow, was I glad my sins have been paid for. Let me, in addition to talking to you about the Pledge of Allegiance, the Star-Spangled Banner, let me go to you just a few more seconds and talk about freedom. The Puritans came over here for what? Freedom of religion. They came here and established their colony because they didn't want to be part of the Church of England under a king anymore. We fought a civil war, because slavery was a horrible thing in God's eyes. And we wanted everybody to be free. We fought a world war against Nazi Germany against the Emperor of Japan, and also we triumphed over communism of Joseph Stalin. Why? Because they would hold men in bondage. America has always stood for freedom. What's the opposite of freedom? Slavery. And who likes to keep us in bondage? The Satan. And how does he do it? Three weapons. I call them a sword, a stick, and a gun. First one, his stick. It's fear. He's terrorized our nation. There's so many people that won't go on our tours over to Israel. They're afraid to go. You'd be surprised at the number of people who would not fly last Sunday, September the 11th. Boy, if there was a day for hijacking, that would be it. Our country has gotten to be a fearful nation. The second weapon that the devil uses is greed. We've had our share of swindlers, guys on Wall Street, and politicians who would steal us blind. And the gun is pride. How often pride has been used against even leaders of our churches. But we have three P's, our P's of freedom. The first one is our past. We can remember our history as a nation. The second thing is our possession, the freedom that is ours. And the third thing is a perspective. And that's what I want to bring to you tonight. I want to give you a sort of a, how did we get here? Where are we? Where are we going? And what does it all mean? The last 50 years of our history, and I can do this for you because I'm 74. I have ties that are older than most of you. But in these past 50 years, this country has lost its way. Do I hear an amen? Amen. I think back to when I was a kid in school back in Baltimore, and I can remember when the Congress met and added under God to our Pledge of Allegiance. That's in my lifetime. And now, I couldn't do all this quickly, so I wrote it down. Think of what the Satan has done in 50 years. Bible and prayer out of our schools, less than 10 years after one nation under God. And it happened in Baltimore. Madeline Murray O'Hare, who brought that suit, her son was a student in the Baltimore schools. I watched that happen very close up. Christmas and Easter, winter and spring break. Christmas crèche off of public property. The sexual revolution. The Satan always has useful idiots. One of them was Hugh Hefner and the other one was Larry Flint. But at the end of it all, there's always a little ray of triumph. Do you remember when you used to ride to LAX and there was the sign, Live Nude Girls? Do you remember that? It's been liberated. It's now a parking lot. But think of it. The sexual revolution led to XXX movie theaters and then led to your television and now your computer. And there are some of you here tonight. You are slaves to what's on that computer. And I'm here tonight to declare Jesus will set you free tonight. Amen. The sin of Sodom started in the 70s. And now we've got Chaz Bono on Dancing with the Stars. No, thank you. And if that isn't bad enough, what about tolerance going to teaching? You've all signed the petition for SB 48. Are they going to have the table set up out here tonight? Going to be collecting signatures? If you don't sign up, I'll meet you on the parking lot. Abortion killed 50 million of our little babies since it was approved and made legal, and our tax money is still paying for it. I am offended. Satan murdered one president and broke America's heart. And then he disgraced another president because pride came before his fall. He's enticed us into one war after another. We've gone from Vietnam to Kosovo to Somalia to Iraq and Afghanistan and even Panama. Our cities have been set on fire, not once, but twice. Another prideful president got impeached for his sins. But we got a neat little break in there. Do you remember? From 1980 to 1988, we had a guy who was a man of faith, a man of family, and a man of patriotism. And Satan got so ticked, he went on another rampage. We had, remember greed? We had the decade of the swindler. Went from the savings and loan scandals to the dot-coms. Do you remember? Went from Enron to Fund America. And that creeped into a lot of our churches. It went from Milken to Madoff. Until finally, it came to the real estate crash. And let's face it, there were a lot of us who were greedy. We were in houses we couldn't afford, pledged to make payments we couldn't make. And when the rug got pulled out from underneath of us, it was catastrophic. Satan is a murderer. 9/11. I don't have to say anymore. He prowls like a lion. We had to sue to get In God We Trust and the Ten Commandments back into public buildings. You can't put a cross down in San Diego at a veterans memorial. It's unconstitutional. We got a president who appoints a communist as an advisor. The federal government sues states. We've got gangs. We got flash mobs. That's how I got here. I read on the internet there was a flash mob of Christians meeting here at... And we live in fear. We get searched at the airport. Thank God they stopped searching our kids. They still search old men. I fit your profile of a terrorist, right? Taxes on everything, and they want more. And as a nation, we're broke. They won't even send us the application for a credit card, let alone give us more credit. And here's the bottom line. Not since the Civil War has this country been as divided as it is right now. That's the sad survey of American history for the past 50 years. Satan attacks us in three ways. First of all, you as an individual. Somebody came here tonight, and you don't know why you're here. What's this all about? Bald-headed radio guy who couldn't hold a job. He was with the Beach Boys, and then he was on radio. And what is it with this dude? Well, God sent me here. He wants you to come to know Jesus. He wants you to come to be saved tonight. We're going to get to that in a little few minutes here. But if you're here for the first time tonight and you haven't been in church for a long time, or if your heart is broken tonight, God wants to heal you before you leave. Second, Satan attacks not only individuals, he attacks countries. He's attacking America right now. And third, I believe we're locked in a 21st century war of the world. Pastor Jack told you about the imminent problems in Israel. What he didn't mention, what we were talking about before the service. Next Tuesday, the UN is going to be voting on making Palestine a state. If the Security Council votes on that, we have a veto. If they take it up in the General Assembly, we're one of 190-some nations, and this doesn't stand a chance. And there are 800,000 Palestinian kids who think that if that vote happens, it means Palestine is independent, and they're ready to demonstrate. And Russia supports them. And I'm not real sure about Obama and Hillary. And China supports them. And Iran supports them. Everybody's talked about the Arab Spring. I'm worried about the Muslim Brotherhood winter. There's so many countries in the Middle East. The jury is still out. Think of them. Syria, Egypt, Libya, Iraq. We know where Iran stands. Lebanon. All around that nation of Israel, there's a gathering storm. And we all sense it. I'll tell you something. If it all breaks loose next Tuesday, I'm coming here. And I'll see you here. When you watch TV and you read your newspaper, please overlay it with your Bible. Remember, history is his story. It's his story. We know how this is all going to end, don't we? Here's Israel. Here's the bear of the north. Here are the kings of the east. Here's a million-man army. They're going to march on Israel. The temple's going to be erected. The Antichrist is going to desecrate the temple. There's going to be a big war. Jesus comes back for his church. We win. Now, if the ushers will come forward. Don't get distracted when you're watching the TV news. It really is not all about Lindsay Lohan. It ain't about Charlie Sheen. It ain't about Casey Anthony. And it ain't about Michael Jackson's doctor. These are just more of Satan's useful idiots. The one world government is going to be happening. It's up there in New York City on the banks of the East River. And it could be happening as early as next Tuesday. The last 5 years, my wife and I have been working on a project. And it involves global governance and the UN. Anybody know what Mikhail Gorbachev's been doing lately? Cutting wood, getting ready for a nice long Russian winter. Guess where he's hanging out? Guess where he lives? He's a Californian. His office is at the Presidio in San Francisco. And you know what he did in 1993? He established something called Green Cross International. He's been at this environmental movement since he was president of Russia. Do you know why? Global problem needs global solutions. And he's just waiting. And he's got his own useful idiots. He's got Bill Gates. He's got Henry Kissinger. He's got Jimmy Carter. You know who's on his board? Ted Turner. And Robert Redford. The useful idiots of the environmental movement. I wish I had time to go through the entire environmental yarn. Do you know what Al Gore's doing tonight? He's on TV around the world in every time zone for 24 hours with his climate reality project in 14 languages at a cost of $300 million. Who's paying for it? The globalists. They've never believed in religion. They've never believed that Christ is part of the history of this world. And I fear for where we are in history right now, unless we stand up and realize what's really going on. The Satan is at work. He's at work at that UN. He's at work. Can I tell you an Al Gore joke? This guy's driving down a country road. He sees a sign. It says, talking dog for sale. Pulls over, stops his car, goes out, knocks on the door, says, you have a talking dog? Here's a round bag. Go around and talk to him. So then he goes around to the back, and there's this dog. Says to him, hey, can you talk? I certainly can. It's a talent I discovered when I was quite young. As a matter of fact, being a patriot, I volunteered my services to the government. I went into meetings. Nobody thought that a dog could overhear. And I reported all of the secrets back to the government. But I got tired of traveling, so I went down to the airport and I got a job. I sniffed out bombs. I detected terrorist plots. And finally, I decided to retire. I've had two litters of puppies, and now I'm taking it easy. Guy goes back around to the farmer, knocks on the door, and says, you really want to sell that dog? Sure do. $10. $10 for a talking dog? Oh, yeah. That dog used to belong to Al Gore. Lies about everything. Don't believe a word he said. Another one of the useful idiots, along with Al Gore, was Governor Arnold Schwarzenhauskeeper. I'm real politically correct, right? Am I at home here or what? He signed something called the 2006 Global Warming Solutions Act. It comes into play 100 days from right now. On New Year's Day, we get cap and trade in California. Aren't you excited? This is government control. It's called AB 32. This is government control of everything. I asked Tom McClintock, what does it mean? Global Warming Solutions Act, AB 32. He used one word, catastrophic. Gasoline prices. Tom McClintock, you know him. Christian guy, 22 years in Sacramento, congressman now. He says, Duffy, gas prices are going to double. You're kidding. No, they have to retrofit all the refineries. Back in the 70s, they had to retrofit it. Since then, it's been okay. But now they're going to take it from coal to natural gas. Everything has to be retrofitted. They're going to pass the cost along to you and me. Double gas. Electric bill? Aren't you glad we got windmills once again? Next thing we'll have wooden shoes. And solar panels. What are you doing? It's cloudy. Can I give you an inconvenient truth? The icebergs ain't Milton. I know the Arctic ice mass is growing at 1.5 times the size of Texas every year. That's what scientists say. Want to believe him or the guy that invented the internet? The polar bears are fine. Your tax money pays for a census of polar bears. They went up there and they counted the polar bears. There were only 5,000 polar bears back in the 1950s. Now there are 20,000 polar bears. The polar bears are happy. An inconvenient truth. The globe is not warming. It hasn't warmed since 1995. But these hand wringers, think about it. Back in 1970, the first Earth Day, do you know what they were saying? We've got an ice age coming. Man is going to be extinct by the year 1975. It didn't happen. So then we had a hole in the ozone layer. Do you remember? It healed itself. And then it was acid rain. Are you buying acid rain? What about sulfur dioxide emissions? Do you remember? What about the Amazon jungle? The rainforest that... The Amazon River is 19 miles wide. God's got it all under control. And then, after global warming, do you remember? Climate change. That was brilliant. I mean, everything worked. Having a drought, climate change. Having a flood, climate change. Having a blizzard, climate change. Until finally the Weather Service started coming out and saying, listen, before we make this announcement, this has nothing to do with the Earth's atmosphere or man-made global warming. They said it again when the hurricane went up the East Coast. And now it's greenhouse gases. CO2. Anybody just exhale, you're a polluter. You know when they stick oxygen up your nose when you go to the emergency room? You know what gets the oxygen into your bloodstream fast? They put CO2 in it. Do they know something that Al Gore doesn't know? You know the fire extinguisher? White stuff comes out. Carbon dioxide. That's what makes the white stuff. Don't be worried about it. It's just these global people. They made a global problem. It needs a global solution. And if you don't believe it, think back. 1992, the Earth Summit at Rio, 110, not just ambassadors, but national leaders showed up down at Rio. 5 years later, they were in Kyoto, Japan. They adopted something called Agenda 21, their plan for global rule in the 21st century. And next year, they get back together in Rio again. And Pam and I are going to go down there if God hasn't come back for his church first. I want to be able to report to you firsthand without it going through Diane Sawyer or Peter Jennings. I want you to know from a Christian viewpoint what's going to be happening down there. Our little organization is called CFACT, the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow. CFACT SoCal, because we're focused in on Southern California and how this globalism impacts you and me. My wife and I, Pam is here tonight, I don't know where she is, but honey, where are you? In the ladies' room, okay. She has a short attention span. We founded our little organization. And you know how far this has gone? We can't depend on the government, the executive branch of our state government, to change this. We can't depend on the state legislature. Every time something like this comes up, like the Senate bill, party line, 40 to 20, we lose. If it isn't executive and it isn't legislative, what branch is left? We're right now meeting with a team of lawyers, and believe it or not, it's all coming together. We're going to file suit against the state of California, and we're going to take them to state court and to federal court, and we're gathering resources so we can take it all the way to the Supreme Court if we have to, because global warming is a lie. Promise me tonight, will you, that you'll go to our website, write it down, CFACTSoCal.org. C-F-A-C-T, C like Charlie, C-F-A-C-T, SoCal.org. You go through all of this, and it can sound pretty depressing, can't it? If I came here tonight and said to you, well, there it is. Invite me back soon. Bye. Fat chance. Is Satan winning? Yes. Has he won? No. Come on, say it. Has he won?
No.
I believe when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I believe greater is he who's in me than he who's in this world. I believe Gaza doesn't have an eye on New York City. He doesn't have an eye on Washington, D.C. He doesn't have an eye on Moscow. He doesn't have an eye on Tehran. He's got his eye on Israel. Amen. They still haven't been to build the temple over there. We still got time. But we are in a war. And tonight, I'm here as a recruiting officer. I'm here to recruit for the army of onward Christian soldiers. Do I have anybody here tonight who will join an active war against the wicked one? Can we turn this around? Can we reclaim America? Is this the land of the free, the home of the brave? If you're a prisoner of Satan, he wants to release you right here and right now. I don't care what has you bound. I don't care what your concern is that you brought into this church tonight. Jesus sets you free. You come up here tonight. We'll put God's word in your hand. We'll pray for you. And that wicked spirit that has you under its control, it'll be released and you will be free. Ah! Ah! Would you join me in making a pledge tonight? Would you stand with me right now? And as we close, I want you to join what I used to do on the radio. It was called the Pledge of the Not-So-Silent Majority. We used to be silent back in the days of Jerry Falwell and Ronald Reagan, but we ain't silent anymore. We are making our voice heard, and we want to get this back to being one nation under God. I want you to make a solemn pledge this historic night, September 14th, 2011, Chino Hills, California, United States of America. Repeat after me. I am only one. But I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I should do. What I should do, I must do. Beginning right here and right now. with God as my helper, in Jesus' powerful name. Remember, Satan is our enemy. It's no, you. This is the most obedient congregation I've ever talked to. My wife likes to say, are you PC or BC? Are you politically correct or biblically correct? Are you part of the royal family or are you part of Satan's army? Join the war. Put on your uniform. Put on the armor of Christ and march off to a certain victory. Fight with everything you got, and tonight I am claiming a Goliath victory. A Goliath victory for this church, for you as an individual, for the state of California, for the United States of America, in Jesus' powerful name, amen.